Yeah.
He's like, wait, you have to have a character chart to watch that?
Mm-hmm.
And
But it's like, so it's ironic because you told him that before he started it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, what you're doing is you're having the future influence.
That's true. The future influence
the past. Because if someone told you that before you started the show, you would also be like, I don't think I'm going to need that. Or I don't think that like I'm going to be into that show. And that person would be saying to you, you'll eventually understand where you're when you're at my point, why I'm saying that.
Right, exactly.
The show is so meta.
Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time. For this podcast, we rewatched our final episode on our rewatch, the season two finale, episode number 8, Endings and Beginnings. We're going to talk about it in full detail through the end of this episode. We have no future knowledge beyond this episode. So we're going to talk about everything that happened in that season two finale. My name is Zach Brooks. And I am joined by the alternate universe Martha to my dead on the ground Martha, Aaron Brooks.
Hey, you? How's it going?
Is that you gurgling up blood? Because you're
dead I wasn't sure which role I was playing, so let me get into my role as
I didn't want to. Yeah, I figured I would give you the alternate universe instead of assigning you the dead person role.
I think she says I'm not here for why you think I am, or I'm not who you think I am. So whatever, yeah. It's in my notes. So I'll say it when we come to the scene. Yeah, I forgot there's so much to keep track of. In
this. Yeah, no, I have that also written down. And she does say, I'm not who you think I am. She uses the ball machine. And she says, it's not a question of what time. It's a question of what world.
You think that Alt Martha could be Ash from Pokemon? Because it does. I know you don't really watch Pokemon, but
yeah, I know Ash
Mr. Film Buff from the. I'll just tell you, you know, the Pokeball looks a lot like the time traveling orb that Martha throws down. So maybe, you know, just maybe she's up, you know, in the Pokemon universe.
In a pre-pandemic world, I almost watched Detective Pikachu, and then I didn't end up watching it, and then the pandemic hit, and then I never ended up watching it.
Yeah, you know what the Pokeball looks like, though. Yeah, it's iconic.
Before we get into that, well, first of all, before we get into anything, yes. Thank you guys for joining us. Be sure that you are subscribed because we will have season 3 coverage dropping starting on Saturday, just a couple days on the apocalypse. Season 3 will be coming out. We will be going through episodes one at a time, probably averaging about one per day. We are also going to be doing a season 3 preview show tomorrow. So that is Thursday, June 25th. We'll probably record that later on in the day. So definitely get your feedback in for that. You can tweet it at us at BrooksZA and at Aaron J-A-Y Brooks. You also can leave a comment on any of our YouTube videos and we'll be pulling questions from there. We've already got a pretty good list going. So definitely get that feedback in and make sure you're subscribed on any podcatcher, Google, Spotify, Apple, player.fm, or you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel because we do put all the podcasts up on YouTube as well. If that's the way that you like to consume podcasts, then we'll do that. As I said, we'll do that for season preview show tomorrow on the 25th and then take a day off. And then on the 27th, we will start releasing episode by episode breakdowns of season 3. I was thinking about it. We're going to be very careful not to get spoiled. I think, you know, I say now that we're checking YouTube comments. I think once season 3 drops, we will not be checking YouTube comments until we finish the season. At least I won't be, because I don't want to see anything by mistake.
Yeah, so our we'll probably be about a week out after it, I would think.
Yeah, if it's 8 episodes, which we still, like I said, we still don't know. Probably 8 episodes, so that's a little over a week that will be, it'll take us to finish it. If it's 10, it'll take us a little over a week, you know, week and a half or so. So. Yeah. Stay with us. If you can stay on our pace, I think we both agree that Dark is best enjoyed by digesting it. That's why we named this podcast that, and not just by consuming it all in the first 12 hours that the show is released on Netflix. But
yeah, I even with season 2 took my time. the first time through.
Yep, yeah. So when I watched season two, I did it the same way. I did one episode per day, and it was like I couldn't wait to get up the next day and watch the next episode because it was it's such a good season and so much happens.
Yeah. And I liked it a lot more on the rewatch, I'll say that much.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get into the rewatch. I think one thing I want to touch on is at the very end of the episode, so usually we start at the beginning, but let's start at the end.
The beginning is the end.
Yeah, the beginning is the end, exactly. It's fitting. So, you know, we've got the dark version of Martha who shows up. She's got this dark hair. She's not who you... So she says, I'm not who you think I am. And she says, it's not a question of what time... but what world, which is kind of the reverse of what Mikkel says when he gives his magic trick at the in the premiere. So do you have any theories on who this version of Martha is or like what this could be?
Yeah. So instead of the question of when it is,
it's what,
where it is.
Where, yeah. Where it is, which that's the reverse of what Mikkel says. So Mikkel says, it's not a question. I think he says it's not a question of where, but when, or maybe it's not a question of how, but when might've been what he said.
I don't really know. I think that possibly maybe in this world, everything's mirrored and she's like the Jonas of her world, maybe.
Mm.
I don't know. And so like everything that happened to Jonas in this world happened to Martha in the other world.
So, I like that. So it's it's like the reverse world where, you know, we've talked a lot about reflections and twins and things like that. So you know, maybe in that world, Katarina traveled back in time, or Ulrich traveled back in time, and they were somehow from Jonas's family. So they're still related, just the opposite.
Yeah, just it's like a mirror world, essentially. Yeah. I think another show, Westworld, has had a lot of that being a theory with it, with a lot of mirrors in Westworld and whatnot. But so maybe that's why my mind is a little bit there more on the rewatch than the first time. I'm just kind of theorizing of why, since that may kind of seem out of nowhere, but I don't know. It's just Jonas is the traveler of this world. Martha is the traveler of that world. And in that world, probably Jonas died at that point from an older Martha, maybe, that maybe we'll see in the next season. Again, Scarface is going to come into a role here.
I think a lot of these ancillary characters that we don't quite know everything about, I do think we're going to find out more about them in season three. So there's a lot of loose ends to tie up, I think.
Yeah, and so we'll see. But I don't have any real theories other than that.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of her showing up, reminds me of like, it's very Rick and Morty. That's what I thought when I first saw it, and I still think it reminds me of something that would happen Rick and Morty.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Rick and Morty, Pokemon, you get all the references here on Digesting Dark.
Well, Rick and Morty is obviously based on Back to the Future, and this show has a lot of Back to the Future in it as well, so it's not that surprising. That alternate world reminds me also, I know you haven't watched all of Lost, but there is a whole Sideways thing that they do. So they do flashbacks in Lost, but they also do, in the last season, they do Flash Sideways, so it's like an alternate world. And so it kind of reminds me of that, and the last season of Lost is fine, but it's not, you know, it's not as good as the better seasons of Lost, the earlier seasons of Lost. So that is my one concern when we did see at the end of this season an alternate version of Martha show up, that like, are we going to have a degrade in the quality that we're watching?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing just to throw out there with it, knowing it going into the final season.
Right.
So
like it's a huge thing they have to overcome. And they already have enough mysteries and questions and loops to solve without alternate worlds. So to then introduce an alternate world as well at the end of this episode with only 8 or 10 episodes left is it's a big challenge.
I just trust the show. So it's kind of something I haven't even... It's why, honestly, it's a show that I have a hard time theorizing about because I don't even want to go there a lot of times with it, which I know isn't a great thing to say on a podcast, but, you know, I still will, but it's hard for me sometimes because I just so implicitly trust this show that any other show, if this was, for example, Westworld or something else.
Lost.
I didn't watch
that,
Lost,
right,
at all.
That was the problem with Lost, and really that problem kind of falls with Westworld too, is the internet theorized both of those shows, so many amazing ideas for those shows, and then what the shows ended up writing were good, but not as good as what all of the articles and YouTube videos about the shows came up with. And so that was the problem with both of those shows, and Game of Thrones probably had that flaw as well. People came up with ideas for what could happen at the end of Game of Thrones, and it wasn't able to hit that bar.
Yeah, but this show isn't that kind of show. It's just so different. It's so, like, and I don't mean this as a negative. It's so mechanical. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so clockwork and how it works that it's just, like, it's not a show that needs theorizing to make it better, honestly. Like, it's just a show that's more needs to be discussed and digested and, like, understood.
Yeah.
Then, like, figured out.
Well, and I think, I mean, but I do think there's an element of figuring out, like, oh, Mikkel is Michael. Like, the whole time, you know, that's like the big thing with this show that when I first saw it, people weren't really talking about it in a way that I would have even expected the Mikkel Michael reveal. And I feel like now people who are just picking it up for the first time, you know, after hearing so much about it and how crazy it is, they come in sort of expecting something like that. And I don't think they're as surprised by the reveal of Mikkel and Michael as you and I were when we saw this early on.
Yeah, well, that's part of what makes the show really amazing, though, is that people still that I'm talking to maybe aren't as surprised as I was, because I went in completely unsullied, mm-hmm. to borrow a Game of Thrones term. But, you know, they're still saying, yeah, I wasn't shocked by it, but this is so good.
Right. It's still, it doesn't.
It's not a show that needs
shock value.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, most of the reveals I didn't figure out ahead of time, just to be honest with you, on the first watch.
Right.
If I did occasionally, I definitely wasn't like, oh, this is so predictable, or oh man, I figured it out. Like, I was like, oh, I'm actually starting to be able to play this game better. I'm not Bartos.
Yeah. Well, and I do think, like, for me, the reveals in this show, and we haven't even gotten into the episode, so we will get into the episode in a second, but the reveals for this show that I like the best, I mean, the Mikkel Michael one is an iconic reveal. And, you know, for me, that shocked me. But I think the reveal that Hannah goes back to the 50s and had this whole relationship with Egon, that we don't even know what happens with that, but that's where we leave Hannah at the end of this season, is that she's in the 50s and she's going to stay there with Egon with that machine. And we've been seeing 50s Egon. We've been seeing Egon in the 80s. And we had no idea that he had this history with Hannah. And that twist, it changes the character so much and adds depth to the Egon character that actually is like one of my favorite reveals on this show. And that's not even like a crazy, it's not like a crazy twist. It was just something that we had no idea happened in the background.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's, it's a show that, like, while it's like very emotional, is very logical,
mm-hmm,
and definitely very like spiritual. It's like all these things at the same time. The show is what it's portraying. Like, it's very interesting, and it never once stops to like wink and nod at the camera to like it at the same time, like, it's not distracting how serious it takes itself.
Yeah, it definitely takes itself seriously. I mean, outside of maybe the Rick rolling that we get a couple times, but even that, unless on rewatch we're gonna find out that like the scenes where the Rick rolling is playing, that they were actually Rick rolling us, I don't think there's much that they're like having fun with in this show.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that, let's start back at the beginning of this episode, and we'll get back to the Dark Martha reveal as we get there, but I think we both have a lot of pages of notes to go through.
Yep.
This was very interesting. I did not remember that we opened the episode with Elizabeth in the future. And we see the fallout / ashes / snow. It's kind of hard to tell what it is, but something falling. And it's June, so I don't think it's actually snow. And she unburies a case, much like we've seen other characters unburying a case in this show. And in it, we see her family photo and the fox hat. So that's basically confirming that this is Elizabeth. We do know that now it's Elizabeth. But she also sees photos of herself with Noah and a baby. So these are the photos that Charlotte was looking at. And we're also getting some Noah narration at this point, talking about the end being the beginning, and the beginning is the end. Everything is connected. And then, you know, before we get to it, well, we're going to get to a scene with Noah and his younger self. But I guess at this point, this was the reveal that Elizabeth is Charlotte's mother and daughter.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they just wanted to get it out of the way early in the episode.
And maybe I didn't pick up on it when I watched it last time, or I just forgot. I thought that reveal doesn't come till much later in the episode. And there is a more direct reveal, but, you know, if you're paying attention to this, they're pretty much showing you, like, you know, unless you interpret this to mean that Elizabeth is looking at photos of her grandmother.
I remember on my first watch, I took this to be that she was just looking at pictures of her family members, mm-hmm. not necessarily her. I remember I didn't know till they talk with Charlotte later in the episode.
I guess probably on the first watch thinking that she is her daughter and mother, so you're just thinking, oh, this is her version of like family heirlooms that she's holding on to.
Yeah,
but it is, I mean, it is the confirmation that Elizabeth is mm-hmm. this is Elizabeth.
Yeah, definitely.
So definitely. And that's why this is one of those reveals, and there's a couple of them in Dark where once you know the truth, that scene takes on a completely different meaning.
Just like I think maybe even those Rickroll scenes will take on eventually once we learn about this. I still, again, we'll save it for like our theory show, but like I think Michael being this magician, HG's been missing, like there's still these pieces that they claim they're just pawns that are played and then they move on, but I don't really buy it. And then, you know, Wooler's starting to show up more here all of a sudden.
Definitely some people who were missing. I noticed that throughout a lot of the season, I mean, we talked about Helge on the last episode, how much Burned was missing, Helge's father. Although Helge is also missing through a lot of this.
Yep.
But Greta. Enis as well.
Enis.
We mm-hmm. Especially the version of Enis in the 2020 timeline, we barely see her.
Yep.
So, I think there's definitely some people that I have my eye on that, you know, I think it is intentional that we didn't see much of them throughout this season.
Yep. And then we get to Noah talking to his younger self.
Yep. This was the way this was shot was really cool too, because we have them like basically in front of two very different backgrounds. So it almost looks like those split screens that we've seen throughout this show, but they're actually standing right next to each other talking.
Yep. And he says, I couldn't tell her who her mother is, just as I cannot tell you what your provision is.
Yeah. Which is a weird way to say that, but I guess just like what your path is, basically, is what he's telling her.
Could, I guess, just a translation thing.
Oh, yeah, could be. Noah, and older Noah says to younger Noah, my older self wanted to tell me something, but he couldn't. So it's like a really circular way of discussing.
He said, but I couldn't, yeah.
Oh, exactly. But I couldn't, yeah. And he said, if you knew what I knew now, you wouldn't follow the path to get you to where I am now. And so they talk about free will and that he's, you know, he's about to go on this path. And then Magnus and the older woman, I'm under the impression still this is Francisca. I'm even more under the impression this is Francisca after this episode, but I don't know if you
could
be anybody else.
Yeah, I think for sure.
No. It's just weird they haven't revealed that it's her. It's the only reason why I'm like hesitant to that, but.
Have they revealed that it's Magnus?
Yes. She called him Magnus a couple episodes ago.
Okay.
And that definitely, I mean, he looks exactly like Magnus.
She, right, I just,
like, yeah. Kind of generic. So they come out and Magnus says, everything is prepared. So again, using the phrase, everything is. We hear that a lot.
Yep, and also another thing that Noah mentions is that he couldn't exist in the here and now if everything didn't go the exact same way.
Exactly. Which we've heard something similar to that from a lot of characters. We heard the Stranger say that. I'm pretty sure Claudia says that to herself. So
I mean, that's just determinism 101.
Right. But it also makes sense, right? If young Noah didn't go back in time and get into the bunker with Elizabeth, then he wouldn't become this version of Noah that's standing there telling him to get in the bunker. So
yep.
It's the whole paradox, bootstrap paradox once again.
Yep.
So he said, you must go. Then we go to 2020. We're going to spend almost the rest of the episode in this June 27th, 2020. It is the day of the apocalypse. And we even are seeing so much that we're seeing the actual clock counting down. So like 6 hours, 4 hours. So it's 9:25 in the morning. We open on that clock. And
yeah, it goes from 24 to 25. And I don't know if it was just a clock or what, but it looked like it struggled to go. I don't know.
Yeah, it did look like it was like, I think it was just how they were showing like the like they have such a close up of it. It's like the passage of time. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was like, maybe it was like the electromagnetic field that's having trouble with time, but I think that it was just that he was opening it.
I wasn't sure if it was a sign that maybe things are still slightly off, like just like another kind of homage to like how things only line up every 33 years because the calendar's slightly off. Mm. Maybe just a sign that the world's still, it's probably nothing.
Yeah, but when it, we like, see that, we see that clock a couple struggle. Times. Yeah, we see that clock struggling a couple times throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
now we get Jonas talking with Claudia.
Yeah, right. Before that, we see the stranger opening the box with the passport and the gun.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see Jonas, younger Jonas. He's talking to Claudia in front of the God particle barrels. So I guess this is still, they're still in the 80s when they're talking at this point. This is another scene I had to watch multiple times. So Jonas says to her that we can stop this sick shit, and talking about how they can't change the big things, but they can change the details. They can't change the grand scheme. They can change the details, change a grain of sand and change the whole world.
Yeah.
But Jonas is basically saying if they change something small, they can change everything.
Yeah. And he also says he's here to close the passage, but did not break it.
He's there to open the passage. He says that his future self closes the passage. So the stranger closes the passage, which is something I guess I just like, I remember him saying that. I didn't really put that together that we didn't even use the cave passage at all during this season. So at the end of the last season, whatever the stranger did under the caves by having opening the portal and having Helge and Jonas touch each other in the bunker, that actually led to the passage being closed. So mm-hmm. that's why when earlier in the season, when Jonas tries to go through the passage in 1921 and he can't and it's closed off, it's actually because the stranger closed off the package or the passage at that point.
Yep. So
to me, that's like really confusing. And that's why people are using so many of the machines this season to travel, because they can't use the crawling through a cave passage that they were able to in season one.
Yep.
So that's something I definitely did not pick up on watching this, because they just didn't really talk about the cave passage.
Yeah. Also, after he says none of the sick shit will happen, he says Mikkel won't vanish, Michael won't kill himself, and then your father won't die to Claudia.
So, right.
The big things and little things don't follow the same rules. We won't be able to change the grand scheme of things. So basically, like a lot of times in this episode, it talks about how like people refusing to let go of the things they're attached to is what brings them down.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like contradicting himself completely here. He's like, that's we can't change anything. But like, I have to believe that we can change the small things, because otherwise everything I'm doing is pointless.
Well, but, and it's so, this scene is so confusing too, because he's telling this stuff to Claudia and mm-hmm. he learned all of this from spending a year with older Claudia. So he's learning all this back from Claudia. So it's like they're just like feeding each other.
It's like who's lying to who? Who started the lie?
Right. Whether it's an intentional lie or just like misinformation. But like they're just it's like a game of telephone that just keeps going back and forth between the two of them.
Yep.
I'm not exactly sure what Jonas thinks he can accomplish here. Because this version of Jonas obviously has not yet seen Martha die. He doesn't know as much as the stranger does. He definitely doesn't know as much as Adam does. And this version of Claudia also doesn't know as much as older Claudia.
Right.
So they're both like very new to all of this. They don't know what they can change. I think between the whole idea with the passage being closed and them, like when he's discussing the things that he says can change, he says Mikkel won't disappear, Michael won't hang himself, and your father won't die. Like those things are not related at all. So Mikkel, I mean, unless they're just wiping the slate clean of everything, Mikkel disappearing had no impact on Claudia's father dying.
Yeah, it's basically just like the ultimate foreign trying to pander to himself and the mm-hmm. person who needs to help him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you might be able to do like a cause and effect that like if Michael wasn't there, Jonas wouldn't have traveled, and then maybe Claudia wouldn't have traveled to the future, which caused Egon to die. But I really don't think you could even do that, because I don't think that they really interacted ever outside of this. So
yeah.
I guess maybe you could say that Jonas's impact led to future Claudia telling younger Claudia about the time machine, but that's quite the stretch. So. So we'll see more about the passage in their interaction, because I do have a couple thoughts on the passage, but I'll hold that. So then Bartos and Regina, Regina is looking very frail. She's clearly very sick. Bartos asks Regina about her mother, Claudia. And Bartos finally reveals to Regina that last fall, Claudia did visit and she met him. And older Claudia left Bartos a photo of Regina and Claudia when they were younger. She said she was sorry, and she said if she could turn back time, just like the song, and change the way things happened, she would.
Yep.
So, Then we go to Regina's husband, Alexander. I have all the short names written down. I have Fran, Bart, Alex, just because it's too long to write down all the names. But Alexander, he is meeting with Clausen. And Regina is, I wrote down Regina's all alone, right? So Bartos leaves her, and Alexander is in jail, and Regina is completely alone at this point, and she's like close to death because of her cancer.
Yep. I don't know who's taking care of Regina at this point.
Yeah, nobody at this point. Clausen gives Regina a search warrant to look through the plant.
Gives Alexander.
Yes, thank you. Yes, gives Alexander a search warrant to go through the plant. And Clausen says, if I can't get you for murdering my brother, I will get you for what you've been doing with the plant. Waller is just observing all of this, and Alexander tries to appeal to Waller and ask him to help. But Waller said, maybe this is the better way.
Yeah, maybe it's good if the secrets are open.
Yeah, and which is clearly not the case, because it's gonna lead to the apocalypse. Unless that's what Waller wants. Waller's dumb. Yeah, I think Waller's just dumb. He just can't see the future. So the stranger is then, he is at Martha's house, and he's telling her everything. He says that everything will explode soon.
This is Martha's house?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes, that's what I've written down.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure whose house this is, but okay.
Yeah, he shows up because he's like ringing on the doorbell and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So he arrives at Martha's house, yeah. And he's trying to protect her. He's saying, you must come with me. And she says, this isn't right. That we aren't right, which is the line that Jonas said to Martha last season when he first realized who she was. And the stranger said, I saw you die once. I can't let it happen again. And he pulls out a gun on her. So in trying to protect her, he's actually like threatening her, basically. And he said, I must protect you. I promised you I'd make it right. So this version of the stranger clearly saw Martha die. And it seems like the way he's acting, you know, he's going to put her into the bunker. So he wants her to not leave the bunker because he wants her to not get shot by Adam. So he saw everything that happened this day already 33 years ago.
Right.
So, and you know, we're going to follow them obviously. And we know how this is going to end, that Martha's going to get out and she's going to get shot. What I'm curious about, and I think it's something worth noting, is did the alternate universe version of Martha showing up, was that the first thing to change something? Because it doesn't seem like this version of Jonas, the stranger version of Jonas, is acting the way he would if Martha then showed up after Martha died.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's something I was thinking about a lot. Is like, what has the stranger's life been? And so, yeah, let's definitely talk about that when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So then Bartos, he goes to meet with Magnus and Franziska, and he's asking where the machine is. Apparently, you know, the notes that Noah gave him said he needs to go get the machine back from them. Or at least he's supposed to have the machine. When they tell him that the machine is gone, that Katarina took it, he says, this isn't what was supposed to happen.
Yep, that's not right. He says that's not how this was supposed to happen.
That's not right.
This is all my fault.
Yep. And he's wondering about Noah. He says, Noah told me the way the machine works, but not what to do with it. So,
yep.
And Franziska stands up and says that she thinks maybe that was what he wanted. So this goes more to what you've talked about the Tiedemanns always being pawns and things. I mean, this is Bartos played the role. The role was for him to make sure that they ended up with the machine and knew how.
Yeah, I think earlier on with Adam, he refers to Bartos and says like he's always the naive one or something.
Mm.
Like doesn't he? Or is like
when I don't remember like, that, but that would pretty sure
some
me.
Something along those lines. Like always the naive.
Never. I don't remember the conversation you're talking about.
Yeah, and I kind of thought at first he was referring to, because I thought that Bartos is the guy at the beginning who gets axed. I thought he was just referring to that being why he was naive, because he stopped believing. But I think maybe it's just because the Tiedemanns are always naive. That's their curse. The Tiedemanns, I don't know maybe if each family has a like themed curse or not, but it seems like the Tiedemanns are just like the kind of, the pawns are in the, you know, and I think we're going to find out more about Alexander next season.
Yeah, so. We have to. We have to. we, uh, there's got to be. That's one of those ancillary characters where it just doesn't make sense with what else has gone on.
I think that's going to make a lot of sense here.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, the role Bartos played, if he is a pawn and his role was to make sure that they knew how to use the machine and get the machine, well, who ends up ultimately with the machine? It's not Katarina. She doesn't end up using the machine. It's the stranger. So Katarina having the machine ends up getting the stranger to have the machine.
Yeah, so. And then I have some thoughts about what the stranger is doing with Katarina. I think the stranger's kind of stringing Katarina along, which kind of gets to the next scene.
Yeah, so the next scene. So Katarina shows up at the house looking for Hannah, and she sees the stranger. Mm-hmm. She gets there. Stranger's not yet there. But what she does is she finds his bag of stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and this is at least the second time now where the stranger's conveniently left a bunch of shit out, either explicitly out or explicitly out to be found, with Regina earlier on and now this. Mm. When he's staying at the hotel and he leaves all the pictures up and everything, and then Clausen ends up finding the box. This is now at least the second time where his box of stuff is found. Katarina goes through it all, finds the light, finds the map, which I believe isn't that the stranger's information he had written on there. Anyway, it's about following the signal. Who wrote follow the signal?
Yeah, he wrote that on the map for Jonas, and that's what led Jonas to the caves in the first place.
Yeah, and so it was also, while he wrote it for Jonas, it's also being used by Katarina. Mm-hmm. So then Katarina follows the red string to the, you know, where she's supposed to be in the cave at the time of the apocalypse.
Right, yep, that's true. So she follows the same path Jonas did in season one, basically.
Yeah.
So Jonas, then we see, speaking of Jonas, we see Jonas and Claudia. Now they're in the passage. They've opened up the door. And this is when Jonas says that he's going to open it. And he's been working with the older version of Claudia over the last 12 months. So this version of Jonas, you know, if Jonas is 18 in 2020, then this is a 19-year-old version. So he's like 1 year off of these 33-year cycles now, this version of Jonas. A year outside of the 33-year loops training with Claudia.
Yeah, and I thought Claudia's reply to when he says he wants to reopen the passage was interesting, because she says, but you want to close the passage in the future or the past? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what she starts out saying the future, then the past, and then she says your future, Jonas says it, you know, like what she's talking about, the stranger says it took a long time for him to realize he must start the disaster in order to finish it, avert it.
Yeah, he must start the disaster he wanted to prevent. And I was also very confused by that, because she says that, your older self, so referring to the stranger, said that he wanted to close the passage. When did Claudia meet the stranger?
Yeah, I do not
remember that ever happening.
Yeah, and then Claudia asks how he knows, and Jonas says the past 12 months that she taught, that Claudia taught him everything he knew in the future and about the future and the past.
Yeah.
So, and we've heard at least a couple times now from Noah and a few other characters, them accusing Claudia of being a little dishonest.
Hmm.
So, there's that. And it's just like, we just have a case of everybody lying to each other in order to get what they want.
Yeah, either that or there was a scene with Claudia and the stranger that either we're not remembering or we haven't seen. But I do not remember the stranger ever interacting with Claudia. The only thing I can think of is maybe the stranger told something to HG and HG passed that information along to Claudia, because they both did interact with HG Tenenhouse earlier.
Maybe.
But yeah, I definitely was confused by that. And you know, we do get the information that, you know, Jonas says Adam and Sigmundus want a new world. Claudia and I, or me and Claudia or whatever he says, want to save this one. So that it's kind of laying out the two different sides, whether that's accurate. You know, maybe that's not what Adam really wants, and he just comes off as nefarious because he's doing what needs to happen to reset the timelines.
Everybody's the hero in their own narrative.
Yeah.
It's kind of a play on that, I think.
Except Adam is Jonas's narrative. I mean, Adam is Jonas. He's future Jonas. So, you know.
And also, well, there's also talks about how the person closest to you is your biggest enemy. So you're your own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that is very true with this show.
So both are true simultaneously, interestingly enough. So.
Yeah, so I do think like this might have been what always happened, that the passage always gets closed in November of 2019 and then gets reopened in June of the following year. And it's like, maybe it's like, it's almost like a seasonal thing where half the year the passage is open from June to November, and then from November to June the passage is closed. And that it works that way every year because of these, or at least like every year in these 33 year cycles, because I think that this passage being closed is obviously what always happens. And then the passage getting reopened is also obviously what happens. So it's just during select times when the passage is open, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
It's much less confusing to travel using the machine. You can just do that whenever you want, but yeah. With the passage, apparently it is not all the time.
So, timing's everything.
Yeah, seriously. So then we've got the bunker. We have the stranger is taking Martha down to the bunker. He's trying to save her. And he says, Jonas will come back and he will try to save things, but promise me you won't leave the bunker. So the stranger not helping himself by telling her Jonas is coming back. Because yeah, he's going to make her want to leave.
Yeah, he also says, stranger says he can't help but hope he can change things. And he says that, he says he did not want any of this. He says he kept him alive. Says so she kept him alive. Yeah, all this, just like the same things he keeps telling himself. He knows he can't change it, yet he keeps trying to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he just keeps fulfilling his duty. It seems like what he's supposed to do. He's always just fulfilling that.
But his duty isn't to change anything because he can't.
So now I have written in my notes, Jonas and Claudia enter the bunker. But I don't know if that's right. I feel like I wrote that down and I meant something else, because they don't enter the bunker at this point. It's just they enter the cave.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
They go through the Sigmundus door.
Oh, okay. So this is when they go through the Sigmundus door. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, I often write down Charlotte when I mean Claudia, and Claudia when I mean Charlotte. Also, that's the thing that happens. Trying to take notes and watch this show is very tricky.
Yes, but necessary.
Definitely. So then we see Charlotte. She's going to the police station. Waller is telling her about the warrant that has been issued. And, then Waller finally comes clean about how he's worked with Alexander over the last couple of years, and he helped him bury the radioactive waste. And Charlotte brings up that Jonas, the stranger version of Jonas, said that there was something that will happen with the plant on this day. So she knows something bad is about to happen, and she needs to go there and stop it.
Yeah, and says that how everything's connected.
Yep. And she'll find out even more about that later. Peter then is talking to Elizabeth. He's looking for Francisca. And Elizabeth just keeps looking at that watch that older Noah gave to her. Mm-hmm. And she uses that watch a lot. She has that pocket watch a lot. She has it quite a bit. And Peter brings up that he said only those in the bunker will survive. So this is when Peter has the idea that they need to get to the bunker to be safe. Of course, the only reason why they know that is because a time traveler from the future told them they need to be in the bunker. Mm-hmm. We go to the plant. We see Clausen there at the plant, and they are talking about how tomorrow the control will be shut down for the plant. So I think it's something that we kind of forgot to even talk about, but the schedule for shutting down the nuclear power plant was going to happen the day after the apocalypse. So I think it partially like a red herring that you're supposed to be watching this show assuming that the shutdown on the nuclear power plant, it might be what causes the apocalypse. But that's just something that's going to happen the next day. So I don't think we're going to see that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make it there.
Nope. This was interesting. Clausen references his mother in this scene. And he says, my mother always used to say that just because a task is daunting doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. So this is the first reference to Clausen's mother. Could Clausen's mother be somebody that we already know?
Could be. I don't know who.
Yeah. So in between that and also the fact that when they get to the door and Clausen wants to go in this door, and the guy who works at the power plant says it was the cooling site or the cooking site of the 1990s, when it was last used, and it's too much radiation to enter. They have a very long shot of Clausen staring longingly at those yellow radiation suits, which makes me think he's familiar with those. So
yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think Clausen could have come back from time at some point. He's familiar with these radiation suits, so he knows what happens And maybe he's coming there to try to prevent this.
I mean, the picture of him from being younger doesn't look like he's from the future.
That's true. But the picture of Elizabeth and Noah and Charlotte doesn't look like it's from the future either.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. I mean, could it be that he spent time in both, you know, the past and the future? But he definitely seems to recognize these, you know, it reminded me of the way that Michael looked at Jonas's yellow jacket in episode 6. That, like, he recognized it. And maybe he subconsciously recognized it or consciously
recognized it. Yeah, or he's just like, you know, a detective who sees brand new radiation suits outside of a very radioactive site that supposedly nothing's been in, and he wants to see what they're hiding in. Because right away, like, they're like, oh, there's nothing in there. You don't need to go in there. You don't need to look. And then right away when they get in there, he looks at the brand new cemented ground and knows that they just put something under there. He's like, we're digging that up right now.
Oh, that makes – okay. Yeah, all right. So, I was thinking about this all from a time perspective. But, yeah, it might just be that he's a detective. And, yeah, these are brand new radiation suits, and they say this room hasn't been used since the 90s.
Yeah, yet they have all the – I mean, anybody who's anybody knows those are radiation suits.
Right.
So, I mean, and they're brand new, and they're all hung up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, enough for the whole crew to put on in their own sizes, too. So,
one well, size I think they're all. I think they're one size fits most. Yeah. All right. So then Katarina, I thought this was a really great scene. So we have Katarina. She's looking at the photo album in the Conwald house, and it's all pictures of Michael. And it's like she's looking at these, like, basically the slideshow of Mikkel growing up. So she sees pictures of him at all these different ages, at his high school graduation, him with Innes, and she sees basically his whole life of her son who she's missing. And I just thought that was such an interesting way for her to experience the loss of her son.
Yeah, definitely heartbreaking.
Yeah. And we see older teenage Mikkel. So I don't think that's the same actor who played Michael, but maybe we're going to meet that version of Mikkel later on. But, you know, we're seeing him just kind of, he looks happy. He looks like he's a well-adjusted kid by this point in these pictures as well.
Mm-hmm. He's probably forgotten his past.
Right. So then the stranger walks in, and Katarina is asking him how this machine works.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains that no matter how much she wants him to come home, Mikkel can't come home. She says that Mikkel belongs here. You don't. And Jonas says he can't prevent it, but, you know, it's as bad as she wants it, that she cannot bring her son home. And she thinks it's just because he's trying to save himself, and he's explaining that, no, he would sacrifice himself, but he's tried. It does not work.
Yeah, he says things in the past cannot be changed. Yeah, Mikkel can't come back. Then Katarina says Mikkel belongs here. And then she says, you don't, the stranger. Stranger nods and says, yeah, under his breath, which inadvertently made me kind of laugh. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but he's just like, when she says it, he's like, yeah. Like, he's like, just no, thought well, this he knows, so
yeah. Many, I mean, yeah, his like, life is wrong.
He says he'd give his life for Mikkel if he could, but he can't because his future already exists.
Yeah. Did Katarina even really like Mikkel before he disappeared? Like, I don't remember her being like...
I mean, that's not fair. Let's not shit on... Katarina has turned into, like, the Skylar White of the show for some reason.
No.
I like Katarina a lot. So, I think she was a perfectly good mother before this just had, you know, an asshole of a husband in Ulrich.
Yeah.
And then Kat asks why he came. He said he thought he could prevent the origin. Adams, the endpoint. I might not be able to stop myself from becoming him, but what's becoming of me, I can stop. So once again, he's like contradicting himself.
Well, so how I took that was he was saying he can't prevent himself from becoming Adam, but he can stop Adam. So I think that's like he's saying his mission is to stop Adam, not to stop himself from becoming Adam. I think he's like accepted that he will become Adam.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of was confused by that.
Yeah, I mean, I am too, because he's slowly becoming, you know, by the end of this, he's like assembled his team. Like, he's well on the way at the end of this episode to becoming Adam. And I do think that what we're seeing of Adam is kind of intentionally misleading. I think that Adam is a version of Jonas who has traveled through all of this time and realizes that he must follow a certain path, even if it leads to short-term losses, to win this longer war. So I don't know if Adam is really this villain that he's made out to be.
Well, you know, this is like, if you explained this and you didn't describe it as a war of time, what you said is just battle plans. It's like small sacrifices for the greater good of the war.
Right. You know, like small sacrifices, including like
looking like the villain.
Right. Like including shooting Martha in front of Jonas, because right, Jonas needs, like, he really needs not, that push to become
perception, caring about.
Right. Jonas needs that push to become.
Which he says.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So I do think that there is some of this, like, you know, when we see Adam, there's like evil music playing. But even when we saw Noah last year, there was evil music playing. And then we learn more about Noah, and it's like, oh, he's not like as evil as we think. It's just, the, you know, this show, you know, paints, you know, gets you to look at people a certain way.
Yeah. If you're not learning the lessons that the characters from the show are learning, you're going to make the same mistakes as the characters in the show make in the show.
Right.
Like, I mean, Egon with his perceptions of Ulrich from the beginning before Ulrich had done anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So then Noah, we see Noah and Adam. So we are going back to that 1921 house. And this is another great scene. I kind of forgot that this happened completely. And I actually saw something about this and thought I accidentally read a spoiler for season 3. So I was very glad. I was very glad that this is what happened. So Noah talks to Adam and he confronts him and says he knows Adam's been lying to him, that Noah has not saved anybody. Adam says nobody can escape their fate. Noah pulls out all of the last pages that Adam had been looking for, throws them up in the air. And he says he's been using Noah. Noah says, now I know what I have to do. Claudia was right. And he goes to fire his gun and kill Adam. The gun jams, whether it was unloaded or some fate intervening. And Adam says, your fate isn't to kill me. And this is when we get the reveal that Charlotte is your daughter and Elizabeth's daughter. Charlotte is your daughter and Elizabeth is her daughter and her mother. So we get this now, we get this much more spelled out that Elizabeth is both Charlotte's mother and daughter.
Yeah. And Adam says Claudia was right about not knowing how to play the game.
Oh, it was Claudia. It was Adam who said that about Claudia. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And so then Magnus and probably Francisca come in as well as Agnes. Yeah. And Agnes shoots Noah after Adam gives her the nod. So Agnes shooting Noah was what I didn't remember happening in this episode. And I read that somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. Did I read something that happens in season 3? So I was very glad to see it in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And Adam says it's time that plays this game with us, making us, you know, think we're destined only to find out that, you know, we're not, basically. Mm-hmm.
And then a couple other things that Noah says. So Noah says, your war is against humankind, not against God. So apparently Noah thought he was on this mission to be in a war against God.
Yep. And then he says, only when we're freed from our emotional causes can we truly be free.
Yeah. And they talk about guilt and paradise as well. That comes up. And I don't have who said this. I think it was Adam said, this knot cannot be undone by, it can only be undone by destroying it.
Mm-hmm. So I don't remember who said that, but
yeah. A great scene between Agnes and Noah. This is the end of, unfortunately, this is the end of Noah at this point. So we're going to be following more young Noah moving forward. We're not going to see this version of Noah.
Yeah, right after. They show him getting shot in the chest. They go to young Noah. They cut to young Noah.
Yep, they cut to young Noah. Noah says, "No human is without guilt." Is what he said also. So, he says that. So Adam says that to Noah. Adam says, no human is without guilt when they're talking about Charlotte being both Elizabeth's mother and Elizabeth's daughter.
Yeah, and then he says, none of them have earned a place in your paradise.
That was in your paradise, okay.
Yep. We cannot escape our fate.
Mm-hmm.
Then Agnes is brought in by Magnus and Francesca.
Okay, yep. And I mean, you know, like just that Agnes, she turned on Noah earlier, obviously. So she gave the last pages to Noah a couple episodes ago. And then she, you know, she must have turned on him and started working with Adam to tell Adam. But this version of Agnes also is not in like a very colorful dress, which is how we've always seen Agnes on this show. and almost to me looks a little different. Like, I don't know if this is maybe a younger version of Agnes or even an older version, but it doesn't seem like this is the same Agnes that we've seen.
Seems like she's from a different world, almost like Martha.
Oh, could be. Yeah. I didn't think about that, but that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. She's in all black, just like Martha.
Yeah. Because we've always seen Agnes in very colorful outfits.
And, you know, like maybe the characters when, yeah, who knows?
Yeah. And so, yes, so then we see young Noah. He's exiting the church, so he's just time traveled. And literally there are bells tolling in the background. So bells are tolling for older Noah, who's just been killed. Jonas then opens the machine in the passage, and he inserts the liquid. And he says that we can connect our past and our future.
Yep.
And when he does that, Martha sees the time portal open in the bunker. And all the lights go out and the birds start falling. So this is like the side effects of time travel that we really didn't see in this season because the passage was closed. The birds falling from the sky, those crazy light. You know, we did see some storms. We didn't see like the whole city's lights flickering like they did in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the indication that that Jonas and Claudia are traveling through time, through the passage, to get back to 2020.
Yeah.
So Peter and Elizabeth, we see them arrive at the bunker, and Martha runs out. So they basically free Martha unintentionally. This was not what the stranger wanted. He wanted her to be locked in there because he did lock her in the bunker. I don't think we mentioned that, but
yeah.
Not leave. Magnus and Bartos and Francisca. Bartos said Noah was right and that Jonas is the reason for this shit. So they're all together. And I think at this point they were in Magnus and Martha's home, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Jonas and Claudia exiting the cave. And Jonas tells Claudia that she needs to take the machine to the bunker. Jonas said he's going to go find my mother and Martha. Of course, he is going to find Martha, but his mother is nowhere to be found because she's at 50 or 66 years in the past.
Yep.
I would think that if Jonas just spent a year studying with older Claudia, he would know his mother is no longer in 2020.
Yeah, this is, again, I think just shows how much he doesn't learn in this year.
Right. That all of these people who think they know everything, like Jonas thinks he knows so much, he doesn't know anything.
No, I have a portion of it. Yeah, they only know a portion of it.
Mm-hmm. So then we see the kids trying to find Martha and Katarina. Magnus is calling Martha, and he's also calling Katarina. Francisca gets a call from Peter that Peter and Elizabeth are in the bunker, and so she needs to go and be with them. Bartos said something is happening, so he can tell there's something going on. And they decide that if nobody is home in the next half hour, they will go to the bunker and join Peter and Elizabeth. Then we get Waller and Charlotte driving in just a quick conversation where they're talking, and Charlotte is catching up Waller about the fact that Noah is her father.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the power plant. We see the yellow suits. They are all walking into the cooking chamber. Great shot, because it's a super dark scene in these bright yellow suits. We've seen yellow so much in this show, between the school and Jonas's jacket, and now these radiation suits are bright yellow as well.
Yep.
And Clausen sees the sealed off cooling chamber. It's all very freshly laid concrete, and as you said, his detective brain is probably going off and he's noticing this thing they said has been here since the 1990s. It looks very new.
Mm-hmm.
Then Regina is trying to get Alexander. She's on the phone. She's trying to get Alexander out of jail. Again, she's all alone and like it's just very sad. You feel bad for her, but then her mother walks in. Claudia walks in. And I think
who Jonas had told when they left the caves just to deliver the machine to the bunker.
Right. Yes. Did not say anything about going to Regina. She went her own direction and went to see Regina.
Yeah. Which I think, again, the emotional thing is what ends up causing things not to change again, which is why the emotions have to be cut in order for anything to change. Mm. Point at him.
Well, Claudia does end up in the bunker. She just ends up in the bunker with Regina.
Right.
Yeah, so Claudia is there, and she's telling her, she's explaining to her daughter, you know, as best she can, and apologizes for the way that she left. And Regina doesn't, you know, Regina is one of the characters in this show who's still really, that we know, is still really in the dark about time travel. Everybody else, you know, for the most part, is getting more and more woke to that. But Regina doesn't, but Claudia is explaining to her that she's there. And they had a really, I thought it was a really like emotional moving scene where they're reconnecting, and the hug between them just felt very powerful, especially because they're the same age at this point too.
Yep. Good point.
Yeah. And then we see that clock that you referenced earlier, struggling to go another digit on the clock. So it's, that clock is ticking. We see Jonas, he is looking at the gun. And I think at this point he's back in his home. Right, he's back in the Conwald home. And then young Noah walks in, and he says, "You look different than the last time," which echoed their first meeting earlier this season when Jonas woke up in Noah's house, and the same young Noah said to Jonas, he said, this version, he says to him, that you look different than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So, oh, and this version of Jonas, this is the stranger version of Jonas that is having the conversation with Noah.
Yep. And Noah says he always wondered what turned him into what he became.
Yeah, when he becomes him, which is interesting. Do you think that there is like an inciting incident, like an explosion or something, that makes Adam so disfigured and look the way he does? Or do you think it's just the combination of years and years of time travel that is what does it?
Seems like some explosion happens at some point.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if maybe before they actually develop the God particle that we see them use to travel in time, that they have to get into, like, they have to get into that black radiation suit to go into it. Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe the first time they tried it, he did it without protection, and that's what made him all scarred.
Yeah, I think something does happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be like, you know, we've talked about Star Wars a lot. It'll be like the end of Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin Skywalker turns into disfigured Darth Vader.
Yeah. Maybe a battle on the volcano.
Mm-hmm. Between Jonas and Noah, or Jonas and Claudia.
Or Jonas, yeah.
Or Jonas and Jonas. So Noah also says, he always said we'd be friends before you betrayed me. So I'm curious when Jonas will betray Noah. And or I guess maybe Noah told himself, his younger version of himself, that they'd be friends before he betrayed him.
Mm-hmm. To like set, plant the seed of doubt.
Mm-hmm. And Noah says to the stranger, he says he's the savior. So you know, again, like a godlike figure to Noah is Adam.
Yep.
And Adam gives, or Noah gives the stranger a letter to Jonas from Martha. And we don't see, this is another letter. We've had lots of mysterious letters on this show, but we don't see really what's in this letter, except that the stranger says, this can't be real.
Yep. And then he says, must save Martha, Bartos, Magnus, Francesca, later me, and Agnes.
Yes. Which is basically his, you know, his crew in 1921, really. If you assume that Magnus and Francisca are the two people that we're seeing there, and that Bartos was the older man who's killed in the beginning of the season, and then Noah works with him, and Agnes, you know, obviously Agnes has a connection to Adam as well.
Yep. And then the circuit has to be finished for the next cycle to begin.
Yeah. There's the prophecy foretells is what they say. So, yeah. So the stranger takes the machine and runs out of the house at this point. I'm curious if the letter from Martha, what that would be, because the letter is written to Jonas having known the knowledge of what happens. And obviously Martha is going to die at the end of this episode. So do you think that letter was written by the dark Martha who shows up at the end of the episode? Or do you think it's a fake? Like what could,
I always thought it was fake.
Oh, okay. See, I never got the impression that it was fake. So I'm curious like where that's coming from.
I'll have to know what it says to
kind yeah. of well, guess. I'm sure we'll find out. But that combined with a couple other things that happened leads me to think that this dark Martha who shows up at the end was always part of the plan and is kind of working with some of this other stuff that's going on. So and that this version of Noah got this letter because of some, whether it's a conspiracy against Adam or a conspiracy that Adam's involved in, but you know, this version of Martha always existed.
Mm-hmm.
So then we see Katarina going into the caves. We start hearing like a song that's basically the bells, that's got the bells tolling in the background. So I did notice, I feel like bells tolling always signifies death. And we're just hearing over and over and over again, bells tolling, which is going to be a ton of death that's about to happen. So I guess it's just foreshadowing that. In the future, we see Elizabeth crawling through a different passage to get into the dead zone, which is where the power plant is. We see Adam getting into that black radiation suit, preparing to travel. We see Clausen drilling into the concrete to get into the ground. Regina and Claudia arrive at the bunker, and Peter recognizes Claudia, that Claudia is the gray woman, or not the gray woman, the white devil, that she's the same one. So this is, Claudia is the one who was giving Peter the instructions in season one, and he now realizes that this is the younger version of her. And Charlotte and Waller arrive at the plant. I think also, going back to that, actually, we just had a scene where young Noah is asking Jonas when he becomes Adam. And this is Peter recognizing when Claudia is going to become the white devil. So it's just kind of, it's kind of interesting to think about these characters and how they become the older versions of themselves. Like if there's a certain point or if they just slowly become that. Charlotte and Waller arrive at the plant. Then younger Jonas arrives home. He's looking for Adam. So I guess the reason why he did have to look, he's looking for Hannah. Jonas arrives home. He's looking for Hannah. And I guess the reason why he, when he gets out of the cave, he says he's going to look for his mom. He always has to look for his mom, because that leads him back to the home, which is where this whole inciting incident is going to happen.
Yeah, and just a couple things I noticed in the Conwald house, and Hannah's house. There's a picture, like a portal on the wall, and then there's a picture underneath it, like an artwork that Michael did, of like a portal looking time traveling thing, and then underneath is a picture of the Grim Reaper.
Oh, so I didn't notice that. I noticed like there was like a black death silhouette. Is coming. But
yeah, yep. It was Grim Reaper. So it's clearly put in the frame there. So just try a touch to what's coming maybe in that scene.
So is that behind Jonas at this point?
Yeah, it's like near like where Martha gets shot.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's going to be the scene of death. And we've seen the stranger always look at that spot on the floor as well, because he knows.
And when Miguel goes back in time, he's wearing the Grim Reaper outfit. The skeleton,
yeah,
but looks like a Grim Reaper with the hood.
He also referenced being the reference to people being ghosts of people as well.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
So then Martha shows up, and she tells Jonas that she knows everything. Of course, this version of Jonas doesn't know that Martha knows everything, because she learned everything while he hasn't been there, and has told it to the stranger, but hasn't told it to the younger version of Jonas.
Yep.
And she says to him, "You and I are perfect for each other. Never believe anything else." So there's that phrase coming up again.
Yeah, and like Jonas here is like crying. You can see he's like trying to fight his feelings, like as hard as he can. He's trying to fight it, and like he's like crying, and he still can. Especially
well, because that line is so powerful. Because if you think about it, for him, so he said that line to Martha on the beach, in June of 2019. And then he's heard that line in dreams. He's woken up and had that line in dreams. But then now it's been a year since then, and he's hearing it back from her, even though of everything he's been through and everything that she's been through in this time, that he knows that he's put her through and she's been through.
Yep. As soon as they kiss, Adam pops up with a little creeper.
Yep.
Says, circle is closed.
Yep. And he talks about the trigger and that he has the trigger inside of him. Says, what's created today will start the beginning of the end, so I can lead to the end of the world. So, he's trying to end the world, but again, maybe the end of the world is what actually makes things better in the long run.
Yeah, he said the cane pieces are in position already. All that's needed is a little push.
Right.
Jonas says he lies and is the trigger. Adam says the trigger is in all of us. The dark matter must be created so that I can lead it to its destiny in the future.
Yep, to the end of the world, is what he says.
Yep, I am the trigger, not what you think. I'm the trigger for what I am today, and then shoots Martha.
Yeah, so at first he has the gun pointed at Jonas and then moves the gun. He's wearing gloves, I noticed. I don't know if that has any significance, but I did think it was odd that he's wearing gloves. Maybe his hands are just really messed up.
Yeah, and then he says, some pain you cannot forget.
Right.
You'll carry this pain until you are finally ready to let go of her. you can stop me or you can try to save her. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
He says, you'll know what you have to do.
You'll know what you have to do, exactly.
And during this time, he walks over to the calendar and he draws a circle on this date on the calendar. Of course, we saw Jonas when early in the season, when he's in the 2052 timeline, he sees that calendar with the circle drawn on this date.
Yep. So,
and he was the one who drew this. Adam was the one who drew this.
Yeah.
And I did notice that most of the other days on that week are not X'd out, but that's because Hannah's been gone for a couple days.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, you know, I think that there are a couple ways that you could read this scene, but that Adam needs Jonas to experience this pain in order to become Adam. Just like what Noah says to himself earlier in the episode, that he needs younger Noah to go on this path in order to become that version of Noah.
Yeah, I think the Stranger kind of says that to Jonas in the season one finale when he's in the bunker.
Mm. Yeah, he does, basically. Because Jonas asks him to let him out, and the Stranger says, I can't because you need to go through this.
Yep. So everybody's trying to convince their past self that they have to go through those trials in order for their future self to change things.
So you can try to stop me or you can try to save her. What do you think that's referring to? Because, I mean, obviously Adam knows. Do you think that's referring to Martha showing up at the end of the episode?
Yeah, or maybe he realizes looking back at his life, his biggest mistake was trying to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just
but he's always going to do the same thing. It's a cycle. He knows that.
Yep. But even at his advanced age, he still thinks he can change something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody thinks they're the exception to the rule.
Yeah. So you can try to stop me. I'm just curious what you can try to stop me means. Would that mean like you can, when you get older, you can, as the Stranger, try to be at the house to stop me, like literally try to stop me?
I think like
or try to stop me from ending the world.
Yeah. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's kind of like a mirror of like Helge stopping himself,
mm-hmm.
maybe with instead of the older version stopping the younger version, it's the younger version trying to stop the older version. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe it's really the goal. I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly. Well, I mean, it could be him speaking to Jonas, but through Jonas to the Stranger. And I also was thinking that this is the first time that we have Jonas, the Stranger, and Adam all in the same place. The first time we've had three versions of a character all in the same place on this show at all. So, you know, are we leading towards, I could see that the finale of this show is a showdown meeting between three different versions of Jonas. We have Jonas, we have the Stranger and Adam. They all have to be in the same spot to either do something or to fight each other to end things.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I think we have to see this show is so about the number three. We have to see all three versions of a character, or maybe all three versions of multiple characters in the same place at once. And this is the closest we get to it because they're all in the same time in Winden for the first time that we can remember.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, this was not the end of the episode, which I was like, oh, this is, we're already done. I thought there was more to come. Oh no, there's more to come. So then the container is opened and Clausen says, this is our elephant. And, yeah.
Refers to the elephant earlier in the season.
Oh, yes. When was the elephant earlier in the season?
When they're at the town hall and when he's talking about how an elephant from 10 perspectives.
Oh, 10 you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Perspectives of an elephant.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Elephant never forgets.
Yeah. And the Stranger arrives with the kids, Bartos, Magnus, and Francisca. And Bartos says, this is all your fault. And the Stranger agrees. And he says he's here to save them. So he has the machine, and they start using, they're about to use the machine. Then in the future, we see Elizabeth starting the dark matter machine. And in the past, we see, well, this is why I think this is Francisca, because there's some nice symmetry there that each sister is starting the machine at the same time in two different times. So we have Elizabeth in the future starting the machine in 99 years, or more than 99 years later, 132 years later, 132 years earlier, an alternate version of Francisca is starting the machine at the same time. Because mm-hmm. it's not Magnus who's turning the machine, it's Francisca. And then Charlotte is in the present. So Charlotte is in the 2020 timeline as the dark matter is created. So we have three different versions of this dark matter god particle, and the three different women from this direct family all right at the creation of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was interesting. I also think that lends credence to me that that's got to be Francisca, just because it makes a lot of kind of poetic symmetry sense. But why is Francisca starting that machine? They've already sent Adam back. What are they? What would they be starting that for?
I don't really know. I think that she feels it's her role. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, because it's the same, and I don't know if we have the answer. I mean, I don't think we do, but it doesn't, like, the one in the future makes sense, you know, that it, the future one lines up with the one in the power plant, because it's the same one, they're starting at the same time, it's going to create this tunnel. But the one in Adam's headquarters, they said they created that separately. It's not the same as the one that's in the future. So they're starting it at the same time, but it doesn't really make sense to me why they would start it, unless they are the ones who are connecting Dark Martha to send her back to Jonas. So
that would make sense.
That was my main theory, is that they are actually saving Martha, sending her back to get Jonas. And maybe Adam even knows about it, because she's using that ball, the Pokeball time machine that you mentioned. And you said a couple episodes ago that there were actually blueprints to that Pokeball in Adam's headquarters. So Adam knows about that machine. So, you know, as I watched this, one of the things that I really put together was, I think what happened always happened to Jonas. So he sees Martha get killed, and then he always was rescued by this other version of Martha. Because at this point, you know, there's a little bit left, but basically at this point, the apocalypse is about to happen. Everything's going to explode in Winden and get destroyed. And Martha saving Jonas is what keeps Jonas alive, because otherwise Jonas would have died at this point, and the stranger never would have been able to go back, because Jonas is not in the bunker when the apocalypse happens.
Yeah. Well, the end is the beginning.
So I think this, if when I first watched this, I thought, okay, we're finally changing the cycle. Martha, this version of Martha, is coming back, and she's going to help Jonas fix things. But I think this must have always been what happened, because otherwise Jonas would have died at this point, and the stranger would not have been able to do everything that we've seen the stranger do, meaning Adam wouldn't have been able to do everything that Adam did.
Yep.
Oh, that's the choice. Maybe that was the choice that Adam brings up.
What?
Because that's the choice Jonas has, is to go with Martha. And what he thinks is going with Martha is going to save her. But by doing that, he's allowing Adam to be created. If Jonas didn't go with Martha, he would have been killed in the apocalypse, and Adam would have never become Adam.
Because he would have died.
Yeah. So to stop him, if he would have said no to this version of Martha, he would have stopped him.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only way to stop him.
Yeah. So that was his choice. And this was outside the timeline, and he made the wrong choice.
Yep.
Even though it seems like it's the right choice, because he's going with a version of Martha.
Yep. I think you figured it out.
Crack it. I'm like Clausen.
Good job, Clausen.
Speaking of which. Yeah. So then, where are we? So Charlotte's at the Dark Matters. It's created. Katarina is in the caves. We're seeing kind of all of these things flash really quickly. We see Elizabeth in the bunker with the watch that Noah gave her. And at this moment, young Noah walks in. So, of course, this is when Elizabeth and young Noah meet. And they're going to have a love that is going to lead to Charlotte. And the portal disappears. And then Katarina enters the passage, and the wormhole reopens. And we see Charlotte and when I said the portal disappears, I mean the God particle disappears. So Katarina enters the passage, and we have a wormhole opening. Charlotte and Elizabeth can see each other now, and they can see each other through that portal, much like in season one, Helge and Jonas could see each other.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that because Charlotte and Elizabeth are father and daughter, could Jonas be the father of Helge?
Yep.
Mother and daughter is what I meant. Could Jonas be the father of Helge? And like, that's the parallel between season one and season two, when characters see each other through a wormhole. Because we still don't know who Helge's father is. And
because those scenes do really mirror each other.
Right. It's like the exact same thing. And this is a mother and daughter. And, you know, could we not have realized that when we see Jonas and Helge looking at each other, that's a father and son looking at each other.
Yeah. Could be.
What was it that Greta said about her? Like he was a priest, but he wasn't a man of God, I think is how she described Helge's father.
Yeah, I really think Helge's father is Peter.
Okay. So if Helge is, so Helge is just like Elizabeth, so Helge is his own father and his own son?
Yeah, I think that would be it. But now that you've mentioned how these scenes mirror each other, that could be it. But
I guess maybe it was Agnes who said, Agnes said Tronte's father was a priest and not a man of God.
Right, yeah. So I do think Jonas could be Tronte's father.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make him Ulrich's grandfather.
Yep.
Which would make, and Ulrich is his
grandfather.
Grandfather. So,
yeah. So, yeah, that would make a
lot of
sense.
There we go. Yeah.
So Agnes and Jonas.
Yeah,
sure. We also still don't know who Agnes and, we also don't know who Agnes and Noah's parents are as well. So those could be somebody that we already know as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, lots of, you know, you said you didn't like to theorize, but lots of potential theories coming out of this episode.
Yeah, I do like to theorize, I think. I just don't, I don't like to be right because I don't think I'm smarter than the people doing this show.
No, I hope
I'm here to, I'm here to be a pawn guide to you all. I'm not here to at all show you anything. That they're
we're like Bartos, right? We have the machine and we're showing you how this Netflix machine works, but we don't know what to do with it. We're just trying to figure out how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so just a couple other things in this. So the power plant, the dark cloud goes over it right when Charlotte and Elizabeth see each other. The stranger says it's beginning as him, Bartos, Magnus, and Francisca are all about to travel somewhere using that time machine. And then Charlotte and Elizabeth touch through the wormhole and the apocalypse happens. And right before the apocalypse can happen, that's when Dark Martha shows up. We've talked a lot about Dark Martha already. And she says, I am not who you think I am. So maybe she's like a shapeshifter. Maybe she's not Martha at all. She just looks like Martha. She has way different haircut than Martha.
She's not Jonas's Martha. We've seen how people at different ages are like different people. Think about how different people are from different worlds, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're worlds apart is a saying that people often say about when they're describing their differences in personality.
Mm.
These two are literally worlds apart, this Martha and all Martha.
And we did get reference earlier to Claudia talking about the world without Jonas and that it's not good. So, you know, maybe that's where they're going. Maybe they're traveling to a different time. Maybe
that's where they're leaving.
Yeah. So she uses the ball machine and she says the question isn't what time, it's what world. And then we see the apocalypse take out the house and the season ends.
Yep. And that is it.
That is it. And if you were watching this on Netflix, you probably already watched it. But for us, when we were watching on Netflix, it very quickly started showing the season 3 trailer without showing the credits. So I had to click away very quickly because I did not want to see any of the trailer from season 3.
Click away very quickly.
Click away very quickly is a very hard phrase.
Yeah, it's a good thing Sigmundus didn't choose that for their phrase.
No kidding. Does your brain hurt after talking about all of that? Because mine does.
I'm exhausted. Honestly, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
This whole kind of journey of this rewatch, I started it really bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm not a professional podcaster at all. I just like television shows and especially Dark. And I started it I had 6 pages of notes today, but it took a long time and it got harder and harder. I'm looking forward to seeing some fresh stories here, but I'm just not sure how this first watch is going to go. I'm kind of scared to be going into this new world of not seeing episodes I've seen 6 or 7 or 8 times.
I was thinking about it earlier. I'm like, we're going to come on these podcasts and there's going to be a whole lot of them. When we start, we're like, holy shit. Now we're seeing stuff that we didn't already, you know, that we already knew. So we're not like surprised, like, oh yeah, Michael is Michael and, you know, Claudia is the white devil. That's not surprising, but we're going to see, you know, probably the end of the first episode, we're going to be like, oh my God, I cannot believe like blah, blah, blah happened.
So. Yeah. But I like this. I do like really, really like the season a lot more on this rewatch. I still do wish it was 10 episodes, but I think they did well with the 8 still.
Oh, yeah. So you brought that up before we started talking. You said you could see how this could have been 10 episodes and they changed it to 8, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't. because the only way they could do that is if they did more episodes that were bottle episodes. Because each episode outside of episode 6 was a day leading up to the apocalypse.
And that's what I think this could have used, is two more bottle episodes, honestly. Mm. The bottle episode is the best episode of the season, in my opinion, episode 6. Mm. I did like the party episode 7. I feel like episode
3... The party was episode 6 also.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that bottle episode, that was basically the bottle episode. Mm-hmm. So I think that having a few more, but again, that's a minor nitpick. I still feel more of an emotional connection to season 1.
Yeah, I think season 1 is like a little bit more of a self-contained story than this. Like, this one is a great way to expand. Season 2 is a great way to expand out on season 1. And I love that we get the 20s timeline. We get more of the future. We get the Adam character. I liked it as a way to expand out, but season 1 is, if you're just going to watch season 1, you could watch just that and have like a full story told to you.
I also feel like because it was 8 episodes and they kind of set up that each one was a day before the apocalypse, that is really a cool idea, but it forced a lot of characters, I think, to get kind of sacrificed without being acknowledged.
Yes, and I think Jonna's, that's something
gone,
I want to...
Trante's gone.
I want to talk about the characters that we didn't get. And our feedback show, I think that's a good thing to touch on, like who we didn't get, who we expect to get. Because, yeah, I mean, we talked, like you just mentioned, Jonna and Trante, nowhere to be found.
Burned.
Enis as well, burned. So there's a lot of characters. And then there's ancillary characters that it's like, if we only have 8 episodes, why are we wasting time with somebody like Clausen? So, you know, that must.
Bernadette, where'd Bernadette go?
Yeah, Bernadette. Like, it must play into the larger role, I would think. So I think it will be interesting to look at that as well.
Yeah. But those are kind of just my overall thoughts.
It was definitely really fun. I had a ton of notes. This show is very hard to take notes on because I have to keep rewinding it and pausing it. But it's going to be fun to get into season 3 and some new stuff and just see how different it is talking about brand new things versus talking about things with a rewatch perspective. It'll be a big shift for us.
Definitely.
So, so lots of theories on this one, or at least ideas of connections. I'm sure there are ones that are going to end up being very wrong and very stupid in a week, but in less than a week, in a couple days. But yep. We hope that you guys helped get you all set up for season 3. Of course, we are going to be back tomorrow.
MVPs.
My God. 18 episodes in and I still almost forgot. Thank you. MVP. All right. You get to go first.
So my MVP, most valuable player of the season 2 finale, will be, I'm going to give it to Martha. Alt-Martha, I guess, if we have to be specific. But
nope,
Martha,
we don't have to be specific.
Martha as a whole entity. She, she offers Jonas something that he doesn't get a lot of in this show, which is chances. Mm. And it's not her fault that he fucked it up.
Yeah.
He had his chance. You had your one job. It was to make your choice. And he again chose Martha. So
do you want to hear something crazy? Martha. That is Martha's first MVP through 2 seasons.
It's not that crazy. She doesn't do much.
Yeah, but still, I can't believe she hasn't had a single one, but.
Well, she's earned it. She had an out of this world performance.
Yes. She now has as many MVP points as the dog. Congratulations.
Gretchen.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Gretchen, I am down between 2 people that I want to give my MVP to. One is Claudia and one is Noah. And
that's pretty fair. They really should be co-MVPs because they're really it's responsible for each other's fuck ups as the other one.
Yeah. I guess I'll give it to Claudia because Noah died in this episode and Claudia didn't. So that's the deciding factor. So Claudia gets just from that reuniting with her daughter, I thought was really powerful. So Claudia gets MVP for this episode for me. Bumping her up to 2nd place. So Jonas is in 1st place through 2 seasons with 5 MVP points. Claudia has 4. Noah, Ulrich, Mikkel, and Egon have 3 MVP points. Alexander and Hannah have 2. And Trante, Elizabeth, Charlotte, Gretchen, HG, Peter, Agnes, Katarina, and Martha all have 1 MVP point. I will say after Jonas had 4 MVP points in season 1, he only had 1 in season 2. So, and Claudia had zero MVP points in season one, and she bumped all the way up to four. So she got an MVP point in half of the episodes in season two. So I would say that makes her the season two MVP.
Interesting.
Yeah. But we'll see how that changes in season three. Thank you for reminding me about MVP points. 18 episodes.
Yeah, we've forgotten a couple. MVP's been forgotten in a few episodes.
I think just one, and we made it up.
I had to remind you in a few, though, which is funny.
I know. I'm the one sitting here with like a template rundown.
I'm not doing any of it.
Right. Yeah. That's all right. It's good. The past is influencing the present. So.
Yeah.
Future influences the past, whatever you want to call it. All right. I think we are about to wrap this up. I'm sure this is going to be our longest one that we've done. And we're going to be back tomorrow on June 25th. So 2 days before the apocalypse. That is on Thursday. We'll record that a little bit later in the day to give people a chance to submit their questions. Again, if you want to tweet stuff at us, at Brooks ZA, and he is at Aaron JAY Brooks. You also can leave a comment on YouTube on any of the YouTube videos, and we'll see those. But after the third season drops, please be very careful what you tweet and send to us, because we are going to be going through this one per day. So please be very careful not to accidentally spoil something for us, if you can.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely. Also, and Aaron brought up a good point yesterday. When you do send us questions for this feedback show, neither of us have watched the trailer for the season. So don't ask any questions about the trailer, because we're not going to talk about that. We're just talking about based on what we've seen on the actual show. So. All right. Yeah, make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends if you're trying to get people refresh before Dark comes out. We've got now 19 podcasts. Going to be 20 podcasts after tomorrow that they can catch up on before Saturday. And then we'll have 8 or 10 for the new season, depending on how many come out. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll see you next time for our feedback show and season 3 preview.
See you soon.